I figured out. It's kind of like Linus and the blanket he always goes around with. I like outlines. The problem is, once I write them, I sometimes don't follow them. But we're going through a lot of scripture reading. Hopefully that's all right with you guys. And when you're done with that, Tina, if there's any left over, could I have one? I think mine's on the copy machine. I put it in upside down. That's why there's a corner taken out, because it was stapling them wrong. Oh no! Stop! Yeah. Oh, the staples are crazy on that, yeah. Awesome. So for those who were at the board meeting, the annual meeting, I gave a little teaser of this sermon, and it's about bearing. Bear principle, Colossians 3. So, Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another. This is a key. And forgiving. So bearing and forgiving. Two different things. Or possibly on the same direction, not necessarily the same thing. Because we all know what it's like to bear in forgiveness. But I'm going to propose that there is something else Paul had in mind when he's writing to the Colossians. You would think, reading this, that he had some problem with the Colossians about getting along. But in the beginning of Colossians, you see, everyone's getting along. We keep getting reports on your steady faith in Christ, our Jesus, and the love you continuously extend to all Christians. Okay. Well, what was then wrong with the Colossians? Why did Paul, there's very few letters that Paul writes where he's not spanking folks. He's usually writing folks saying, no. There's only a couple where he's just encouraging folks. Not really a correction, but this is not one of them. The Colossians were up to something, but it wasn't getting along. They were into Greek philosophy, Jewish laws, and worship of angels. They had adopted these things with the idea, this is how we're getting to heaven. We are going to help out God. We are going to do some elbow grease, and we are going to get things done for God. And this is how we're going to do them. Yeah, Greek philosophy, that sounds sketchy. Worship of angels, I don't know. Angels are kind of cool. And Jewish laws, hey, Paul even says in Romans that the law is great. It's straight from God. He tells Timothy it's God-breathed. What could be wrong? But we're not using Jewish laws and, obviously, Greek philosophy or mysticism or worship of angels. We're not using these things to help God out, to get the body to where it needs to be. We're not doing laws in order to get to heaven anymore. That's not how we're doing it. That's how God set it up for the Jewish people. And we learn in Acts 15, that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. For thousands of years, we're just crushed by rules, and it didn't get us any closer to God. So God said, I'm going to send my son, and we're going to get this thing right. And that's what we get to live in. But it's important to understand how we live in it. So, This is what he says about those things that the Colossians are daily grinding out. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, humility, severe bodily discipline, but they have no effect. No effect when it comes to conquering thoughts or desires. In Galatians, he even talks to the Galatians from this idea, you have gotten this far. You couldn't have even started this on your own. How do you think, by adhering to great rules, that you're going to help yourself one bit more? If we could have done it with rules, and it would have been done a long time ago. I suspect you would never intend this, he says to the Galatians, but this is what happens when you attempt to live by your own religious plans and projects. You're cut off from Christ. Oh, wait a minute. Not only are we not doing rules, not only can we not use rules to help God change us one little bit, but we're cut off from Christ. You fall out of grace. Meanwhile, we expectantly wait for a satisfying relationship with the Spirit. For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior. Faith expressed in love. So now getting back to the Colossians, this is the Galatians. Getting back to the Colossians, he's addressing all these rules. We now see why. A, it doesn't help. B, it sends us in the wrong direction. 3, it had already been tried for 1,000 years and failed. We can't do this by figuring this out on our own. He says, I got a secret I'm going to reveal to you. The mystery in a nutshell is this. Christ is in you. Think about that. Christ really is in you. He is in you. In you. In you, in you, in you. He is in you. Christ, the one who, by his own word, created the universe, abides in you. Really, he really does abide in you. That is the changing factor. The problem is, it doesn't happen on our American schedule. It doesn't happen in a snap. We have to do waiting. We have to wait. Oh, wait, Lord, you don't understand. This thing I'm all in, that's doing me no good. I'll help you out. I'll get rid of it in my life. I'll get out the shovel and I'll start flinging the mud as far from me as possible. It doesn't work that way. We don't change ourselves. You don't get up and change yourselves. You get up and he changes you. You wait, and there's something else. So now we're back. We're back here. Therefore, so I want you to really concentrate on this word therefore, okay? Because he's saying this. You were doing this daily grind of Jewish laws, Greek philosophy, and angel worship. But now, I've already clued you in, we're not doing that. Therefore, this is what I want your daily grind to be. This is what we're doing. Mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another. So in other words, instead of doing all of these things that we think is going to rocket us to the right position, what we really are doing is bearing. We're bearing and we're forgiving. We're going to crank out daily bearing. It makes it sound like John did me wrong, but he is too cute to be angry at, so I am just going to love him. That's the forgiving part. It's not the bearing part. That's not the bearing part. That's interesting. It does make it sound like bearing, because we use that word bearing. We use that word like kind of putting up with something annoying, right? That's what kind of what it sounds like. So, bear. This is out of the 1939 Webster's Dictionary. I like old dictionaries because they're trying to change words now, if you hadn't been awake for the last 10, 15 years. To endure with patience. To endure. Okay, that still kind of sounds like I'm putting up with something I don't really like. Well, wait a minute. Endure. What is endure? What is that word? To be compatible with. To continue in the same state without perishing. To continue in the same state. That kind of sounds like it's not about what's going on around me. It's about me. I am going to continue in this compatible state without perishing. The word anakum. That's the Greek word they're using to bear. Hold up against a thing. And I love this part. It's the derivative of two Greek words. Up and to have and to hold. To have and to hold. Sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? That's interesting. To have and to hold and forgive one another. To have and to hold. And now this is starting to sound different, doesn't it? Bearing and forgiving. To have and to hold up. One another. To be compatible with one another. To have and to hold. In Corinthians, Paul makes a comparison to us and a body. In fact, we're called the body of Christ, but he's really like digging into this body mentality. Just as the body, though one, has many parts, like our guts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body. But God has put the body together. I like that. Remember that. God has put the body together. So in the same spirit of, I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to change me, let's switch gears to the church. I'm going to get up and I'm going to throw as many people into the body. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, everyone is honored. You see the principle? To be as compatible with one another. Seems like a good reason, because if John's suffering, the body is suffering. If John isn't going anywhere, we're not going anywhere. Tina, Nancy, if we're not moving, but I don't know if you figured it out, but all my internal guts, as I'm zigzagging on the stage, are hanging out with one another. My liver isn't over there, right? If the body of Christ is on the move, are we doing it together? Of course. I found all kinds of better pictures that were gooey and icky. But I thought, this is a family affair, so I'm not going to make it gory. This is, interestingly enough, when they do cartoons of the inside of the body, they're doing so to kind of show you where all the stuff is. Hey, here's the liver. Hey, here's the stomach. I don't know if you can see it, but the pancreas kind of tucked in back there. In real life, when all those really are together, it is packed in there. Packed in there. They are the right shape and size. They are in the right place. They're doing their thing. And most importantly, they're all surrounded by the peritoneum, which is this slick movie thing. As I'm doing the staying alive up here, my stomach and my liver and my pancreas are just sliding as compatible with one another. All right? Every single one of them doing something different. Okay? The stomach doesn't have to have a beef with the liver in order to hurt the liver by not doing what it's supposed to be doing when it's supposed to do it. The liver doesn't have to have a beef, doesn't have to have some problem with the pancreas or the stomach in order to cause havoc, not only with the stomach and the pancreas, but the whole body. If the liver gets fat, well, that'll lead to nausea, vomiting. That'll buck you over. If it weren't for the slick peritoneum, sometimes you get infections in there. I get patients coming in. They can't even lift up on the ball of their feet and drop. That is too much. Body is going nowhere. And no one had a beef with anyone. Think about that. No one had a beef with anyone. There's nothing to forgive. But were they as compatible with one another? Was it to have to hold? Okay? So there's more than just, I forgive you. There's more than, this is my job. Well, if this is my job, is it the right time? If the pancreas excretes all of its digestive juices out into the duodenum or duodenum, and there's no food there, it digests the body. It will liquefy you. But it was doing its job. Wrong time. Not as compatible with one another. There's right shape and size, right place and coding, right function and timing. So, right shape and size. Do not conform. Oh, excuse me. Period, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's perfect will. Oh, wait a minute. I just spent the first part of this saying, don't you get up and do A, B, and C. Well, yeah, that's true. I don't want you to get up and in your own good thinking do A, B, and C, but if you test and approve what God wants you to do, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Don't be any bigger than you really are. We all need to be a certain size. The brain cannot be any bigger than it can be. That is intracranial brain. That's a pressure in the skull, and it will kill you. The lungs cannot be any bigger than it is. The heart cannot be any bigger than it is. When it does, that's dysfunction. The body is not on the move. Liver, pancreas, all of those things cannot be any bigger than they are. There is only one organ in the abdomen that gets bigger, and that's the colon. It gets bigger because it's full of gas and poop. Think about that. I said poop. So, the right place. All the different things we're supposed to be. Right place, right coding. All the right place. Let us firmly hold to the profession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to spur one another to love and good works. So I like this part where it starts out with the promise, and he is faithful. So number one, we're not getting out the shovels and doing work all by our lonesome without the head telling us. We're not doing that because we know we are on the move, and we are on the move not because of what we're doing. We're on the move because he is faithful. That's who we serve. We serve a God who has this insurmountable power to get us and everyone he's planning on taking with him. I don't know if you know what I'm doing with my hand. It's like a big wave or something like that, you know. So he has the power. It's this force that you couldn't overcome if you wanted to. And you certainly aren't going to help it along. What you're to do is figure out how to spur one another on. That's what we're doing. We're bearing, making as compatible. I like this one for that coding, right? So all the organs are all ushy-gushy inside. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word, think about that. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries, making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. I am one of those things in the body, like when the appendix is all angry, they yard me out. They'll rip the gallbladder right out of your abdomen. They don't hesitate, especially when it's buckling you over, once that infection sets in. But look, I'm speaking power, mountains are moving, mysteries are revealed. Holy moly. Speaking of coding, I gotta get one of these lozenges in my mouth. Here we go. Without coding, I can't say anything. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned alive as a martyr without love, what a waste. What a waste. So love's important. Love is that coding that keeps everything as compatible. The body doesn't move. The body of Christ doesn't move without love. Doesn't move without love. So now which one are we at here? His function and timing. So going back here, function and timing, talked about some of these organs doing what they perfectly should be doing, but at the wrong time, just melt the body right on down. So look at this. This is the Amplified version, so it's really wordy. This is the one that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, trust in him and he will make your path straight. But this one says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. What I'm feeling, what I'm thinking, trust, confident, lean. On me? No. On what I did? No. My history? No. Anything I've accomplished or anything God has made me to this date? No. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Do not rely on your own insight or understanding in all your ways. No. Recognize, acknowledge him and he will direct and make straight. And plain. Well, that was easy. Plain. I like that. He will direct. He will direct. So he's telling me. And then he makes. He says, Mike, I want you to go that way. And watch, it looks like a curvy road, but look, hey, it's straight. He made that straight for me. Not only are we not doing anything for this, except lean, trust, confidence, recognize, acknowledge, know. That's all we're doing. He's going to make the path straight. Just because, you know, and this really lends to folks, and I'm speaking to myself, who had great ideas. Nothing wrong with those ideas. But was it his timing for all the different church outreaches and things like that? Was it his timing? All the different changes in church. But was it his timing? Even if it's a good idea, was it his timing? We get 100 people in here, we'll get 100 opinions on how one thing should go or another thing should go. But what's the Lord's opinion? Don't rely on your own insight or understanding. I perfectly know how to create something orderly. Army taught me that. Well, before that, it was my mom and dad. Oh. Order, order, order. And they needed that because I was a wild child. Order, order, order. By the time I got in the army, I thought, oh, this is just like home. Just because it's good doesn't mean it's God. I mean, we're even in this sermon saying those great rules God came up with before. Yeah, we're not doing those. We're not doing those. We're doing Christ's law now. So even the ones he came up with, wrong timing. They were for then, not now. Not today. But what is for today? We ought to be listening because you have no idea the craziness of the Lord. He will send you on the most unlikely path. I mean, I remember when the Lord said, I was 19 years old, you're going to be a missionary. Woohoo! All right. I already know what I'm doing. I'm a mechanic. I'll be working on cars somewhere in Africa. I'll be in some grass hut somewhere. No problem. And so I started busily going about doing all the things to prepare for what? Well, certainly not what the Lord had for me. Because then I just sat there. One thing I did right is that I didn't move until God told me to. I mean, as far as like all the major decisions. But yeah. I mean, I'm sure the Lord was up there in heaven going, guys, come here. I just told him he was going to be a missionary. Watch this. No, I didn't tell you to do that. No, no. No way. No, not that either. No. That's not a bad idea, but I didn't tell you to do that either. No, and not no. And year. After year goes by of doing great things that I shouldn't have been doing. Till finally, I just wore myself out. That was like 15 years later. And then the Lord tells me what he wants me to do. Cruel? Not really. I deserved it. For goodness sakes, I heard his voice loud and clear. But I brought my life along with the voice. What he was waiting was for me to drop my life. So when you're surfing, you're riding a wave. Kind of like when you're waiting for personal development, the church to grow in any form and function. When you have a prayer request for any one particular thing, you're riding that wave of faith. You can dip your hand in that water, it won't change the wave. You can paddle one way or the other. But I'm telling you, you need to be in one spot and one spot only for that wave in order for that wave to take you where you need to be. And that's faith. Faith puts you right where you need to be on that wave. You acknowledge that God has power. We prayed today about several things. Sometimes where God takes us with that wave isn't exactly what we might think in our own understanding is the best thing. However, if you argue with that, you're removing your faith of the wave. And your position changes on the wave. And you don't want that. That is a big and powerful wave. You want to be right where you should be. And that's in agreement with God. when you pray, when you're looking for the advancement of our local body of the church, when you're looking for personal improvement of one thing or another, you need to have faith, and you need to keep that faith. Don't give that faith up. That can look scary. You got faith in God, you're right where you should be. Not one bit to the left, not one bit to the right. Not further back, not further forward. That Lord wave is going to take you. The wave is going there. Do you want to go too? And the body of Christ should say, yes, please. Sometimes it's not fun, but it's where we should be going. We don't orchestrate the wave. We don't orchestrate the direction. All we do is recognize the power and the fact that we're on it. And mountains will be moved. So, back to bearing. Bearing sounds like a stop and do nothing charge. An indication that we should just pack up our traveling bags and do nothing. I mean, put them away. But in fact, what Paul is telling the Colossians is that you do have something to be doing every day. And it will get you to where you need to be. But it takes time. But this will unlock. This is like one of those no-step programs that they're trying to sell on TV or whatever. Or YouTube. One easy trick. You just do this one thing. This one thing. And it does amazing things. It really is. There is. Problem is, this is not glamorous. The parts of the body that are all hidden and all the squishy gushy and all the things that they do, sometimes it's not glamorous. But it's essential. Work at getting along with one another. Otherwise, you'll never so much as get a glimpse of God. Make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. This is done with love. If you force something outside of God, it will be man-made. It will not be God-made. The best part about everything I'm saying is that we're just leaning into love, not duty. This is how we're getting to where God wants us to be, where we want to be. It will never be a bad idea to exercise kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. If you want to crank something out every single day, assuring that your works are getting you somewhere, that's it. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Those are the core of what Paul's setting up the bear to be. Clothe yourselves. We don't go out naked. Clothe yourselves. Mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Then we'll be as compatible for one another. The body will be able to move. And we will get to where we, not me, not just you, not just John and I, we're all going there. We're all going to get there. And it's going to be from bearing. That's it. I never wrap these things up well. I never know a good aha line to say. But I always want, because I run through this in a way that may lose someone, I always want to offer questions. Do you have questions about anything I said? Well, let's stand. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you so much that our job, although it isn't easy, it is simple. Love. A new commandment I give to you, you told us. And it's just love. We're just loving. And all of our good thinking and all of our good efforts, I don't know. Lord, let us hear you clearly every day for those things that you want us to do. Lord Jesus, keep us as we hold one another, as compatible with one another. Lord, please hold us close to you. In Jesus' name, amen.